Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
It's the beginning of the month again, and we're glad to welcome you back to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Thank you so much, Turkey. It's a pleasure.
I understand you've been doing some work with the JFK assassination. Have you learned some new tidbits?
Yeah, the thing is that I've studied the JFK assassination for some 30 years, but on and off, and because it's not the major, like the grandmother of all conspiracies, because it's so multi-layered and there are so many different teams and people involved, and all made on a need-to-know basis, total compartmentalization, so that even the teams that were there in the data did not know about each other. So it's extremely complex thing to look into. I mean, that's why I was still discussing it after 50 years. But one new angle that I've come up with is to track down the different vehicles that was involved, because once you start seeing who is driving what, how they came to Dallas, how they left Dallas, and so on, you get a clearer picture of what was going on. So I've been trying to track down exactly what was involved and so on. And I can just give you a little outline of it. Like there was, for instance, one of the teams came in a 1959 Oldsmobile, white and blue and white station wagon with out-of-state license plates that was observed by Lee Bowers, the witness on behind the parking lot, and so on. And this, as far as I've been able to track down, that is the car that was used from, it came from Arizona, from Peter Ligavoli's ranch called the Grace Ranch. He was deeply involved with the mob, and he supplied the car from there. And in that car, you had Charles Nicoletti, who was a hitman from Chicago. He was in that car. You had Leo Mercer, who was also a hitman from the Chicago mob. And you had Chauncey Holt, who was a CIA operative, also involved with different mobsters and so on. And Chauncey is the guy, he's the so-called the old tramp of the three tramps. There were three tramps. There was Charles Frederick Rogers, that's the first guy who was working for naval intelligence. And then you had the tall guy, his name was Charles Harrison. He was a hitman from for Carlos Marcelo in Louisiana. He's also the father of the actor Woody Harrelson. And then you have the old tramp, who was Chauncey Holt. Many people have been thinking and identifying him as E. Howard Hunt from the CIA, but he stepped forward and explained his whole story before he was taken care of. Unfortunately, it looks a lot like he was killed in the process of having an eye operation. But anyway, this is the car that people see in the parking lot behind the picket fence and near the book school book depository. They had very rough weather and it broke down on the way. So that is one of the reasons why when Lee Bowers gave testimony, he said that it was dirty and it looked like it had out of the state plates and so on. another car that was being used was a green pickup truck. This pickup truck was observed by a witness called Julianne Mercer. She saw that about 40 minutes before the shots were fired, she saw somebody that she identified as Jack Ruby, who had parked that pickup on just below the grassy knoll, and somebody was taking out some guns from the back of the pickup, walking up towards the Texas School of Depository. That truck was later, that was the truck where Chauncey Holt that I just described, he was ordered to leave a bag with Secret Service IDs, fake Secret Service IDs. He gave them to Charles Harrison, the tall tramp, and it was placed on the back of his truck on the parking lot behind the picket fence. I believe that is the same green truck. And also, it could be interesting as well that James Files, the man who claims to be the shooter behind the picket fence, who fired the last final headshot, and which I've looked into for years, and I totally trust that he is who he claims to be. He says that he met up with Lee Harvey Oswald in Clinton, Louisiana, some months before they were doing, he was delivering some arms up there. And when he met Lee Harvey Oswald, Lee Harvey came in his old pickup truck. It was either an old Chevy or a Ford pickup one. Then you have James Files, this shooter. He was the driver and runaround guy for Charles Nicoletti, Chuck Nicoletti, that I described before, that came from Arizona. But he had been ordered by Chuck Nicoletti, who was the guy who he was always with. He was the driver and sometimes sort of like a bodyguard type of person. James Files were ordered to drive from Chicago down to Dallas with weapons for this hit. And he drove in a 1963 Chevy Impala, burgundy, with the inside gun racks in the seats and the doors and, you know, these type of turnaround number plates and all of it. It was they call it a work car, that was totally equipped with weapons inside, hidden underneath the, well, everywhere there were hidden gun, what do you call it, like places to put guns and hand grenades and so on. And this is also the car that they parked just outside the Deltex building, because when he drove there, or when he left the shooting, after the shooting, he went straight across behind the school of the depository and to the car that he had parked just by the entrance, back entrance to the Deltex building. And at that point, a Chicago mob contact by the name of Hale Brading was the contact inside the Deltex building. He was the one that opened the door from the inside. And he let in Chuck Nicoletti and Johnny Roselli, who was the liaison between the Chicago mob and the government and the CIA. They were in the Deltex building. It was Chuck Nicoletti who was the shooter. There was a starter. His name was Nestor Izquierdo, a black guy who was connected to what is called Operation 40, a hit team of exiled humans that was working together with the CIA, doing international hits on a massive scale. And also George Bush Sr. was inside the Deltex building when the shots were fired. When after the shots were fired, they left, Rossetti and James Files left from behind the parking of the Deltex building, went north on Houston Street, and then a few blocks down the road, they turned, made a left and stopped at a gas station where Nicoletti and Roselli left the car. I don't know how they got back to Chicago and wherever Roselli was going, if he was going to Miami or whatever, I don't know. But that's the last thing that James Files saw. He then, the next day, he left back to to Chicago in that car. Then there was a Black Ford Falcon.
This is fascinating, and I like this new or this approach of looking at the vehicles to see what was going on. I think we've probably used up our allotted time tonight, but perhaps next time you can tell us more about the organization, or from the sound of it, it's almost a disorganization. You have multiple teams that, and they don't know what each other are doing, but somehow they do to do it at the same time. But maybe you can elaborate on that next time.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that, but it's very important to see that this is made like this on purpose, so that the different teams are not aware of each other. They only know their little piece of the puzzle. Many of the people I'm talking about were not even aware that there was an assassination going down. They thought that it was something else, and then they were caught up in the whole thing. So, but that's made it standard on these type of operations that you have a need-to-know chain, social compartmentalization, where people only know their own little tiny part, and nobody asks questions, because if you ask so many questions in this line of work, they will take care of you right away.
Right.
Will be. So,
yeah, I'm sure that's standard the modus operandi or whatever, that they would look for this. The people can't know what's going on ahead of time because it might leak out, and they this way they're also protected afterwards from anybody catching on to what really happened.
The less you know, the better for everyone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for an interesting summary, shedding some new light on the JFK assassination, and look forward to talking again next month.
You're most welcome. I hope I didn't confuse too many, but that was part of the whole thing.
Okay. And once again, your website is lightonconspiracies.com, and your new book is Coup d'etat in Slow Motion.
Yes, indeed. And if anyone would like to please sign up for my newsletter, where I try to bring forward the cutting edge information all the time.
Great.
What do you think it is? I don't know. Whatever it is.
Anyway. Welcome. Now, dear boy, gentlemen.
Join me, Joe Kiernan, Dr. J, every Sunday from 10 p.m. Eastern to midnight for Researchers on a Mission Radio. We will be interviewing guests in ufology, experts on the paranormal, and stories from you, the listener. Every Sunday, 10 p.m. in Studio B. Join us for some amazing conversations and edge-of-your-seat true thrillers.
Right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday nights. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.